Gravois on now to, recap some of the things we saw yesterday and Thursday over in the high school scene. Stan, looked like some very interesting, scrimmages and some very interesting results. And, I know that you probably caught a ball game or two. Where were you and what were some of the things that you've seen in the last 24 to 48 hours?
Well, last night, Casey, I went out to Warrior Field and saw a single A scrimmage between two teams from the Houma area, Houma Christian and Covenant Christian. And I did that solely for the purpose that those two teams don't play each other during the year. And I thought it was a rivalry that was kind of lost when they decided not to play starting last year. So I went out and saw a little bit of that contest. And boy, listen, when I say contest, I use that term loosely because I hope people don't get too bent out of shape of what scrimmages are. They are great for coaches. They are great for finding out the little picture, but they're not real good for finding out the big picture, or at least in the long run of what can happen with your team. I think you learn a whole lot from it, and that's what I saw last night. I think Houma Christian learned a lot from their young kids, and Covenant Christian's actually got a couple of athletes who can really either go up and get it or they could be game breakers at any point. And the one thing I did notice from that and watching film of other scrimmages, because I was in the Houston area on Thursday and got to see a little bit of huddle film on some of the other scrimmages from the area, the one thing I noticed was is that it did sort of look normal, Casey. It didn't have that look of, you know, social distancing to the point of being so far removed, or people in the stands look pretty regular. So I guess we're getting back to that little bit of normalcy. You're right, it's Christmas now in September, October as we go forward.
I didn't even think of it that way, but you're absolutely right. I was at the South Lafourche Patterson scrimmage last night, and they're really, very early, the first, 4 or 5 minutes or so of the live quarter, there was some sluggishness on both sides. The Tarpons turned it over a little bit. Patterson had an interception return for a touchdown. But outside of that, like the tackling was pretty good. There were very few penalties. Patterson had some pre-snap penalties, but the Tarpons were pretty clean on the penalty front. I hadn't thought about it in the perspective of, making up for lost time and kicking up the rust and everything like that, but it was mostly clean. And of course, Patterson scored, air quotes, a quote unquote victory in that scrimmage 20-19. South Lafourche went for 2-point conversion very late, got stopped, well played on both sides. One thing that I saw, and I'm sure you saw this as well, and this is going to be a treat for anybody who's a high school football fan in the upcoming season. Did you see the videos of Mason Smith from the Terrebonne and Vanderbilt scrimmage? That guy was out of this world good, just throwing people around.
The one thing I've said about Mason Smith from the get-go is that it's been an increase in both his technique, his fundamentals, his strength, everything. So it's not like when he was in the 10th grade, that was the end all. This is Mason Smith, here's what you get. There was so much room for improvement, and I say that in a complimentary way. And I knew, seeing him from his sophomore to junior year, just the improvements he made, if this happens going into his senior year, oh my goodness, look out. And that's kind of the situation. He can control a whole line of scrimmage by himself on the defensive side of the ball for Terrebonne. And listen, that he's not alone there either. Caden Lewis is another terrific athlete who's going to be playing on the next level that's on that defensive line. So, yeah, I agree with you that Mason Smith is really going to turn some heads. I'm so glad that he's vested, that he's all in. Because remember, it could have been easy for him to say during this COVID period, I'm going to kind of take it easy here my senior year because I already know I could sign and I could go. At worst, he could go play for Deion Sanders at Jackson State. So that being said, he's still, he's out there and he's toeing the line and he's doing what he's got to do and he's getting better and better. And I don't think that his stock can increase any because it's at its ultimate. But if it could increase, I think you would see it happen this senior year.
One result that was a little bit of a surprise to me, and I mean no disrespect to the team that we're going to talk about, but Ellender played 2 20-minute halves yesterday against Riverside, which is virtually a whole game, and scored a 20-16 victory over Riverside. Riverside's usually a pretty prominent program. I know in the last couple of years they've struggled a little bit, But for Ellender to go on the road and secure a 40-minute victory over a Riverside program, we talked to Coach Turner last week, and we both kind of had the idea, you and I, that this was going to be a sleeper team. Looks like that prediction was maybe a pretty good one from us.
I think whenever you have a new coach who's in the fold, you always have that kind of honeymoon period where the kids are all vested and they're bought in. And I think you're going to see that at Ellender. Of course, we're going to see that at a lot of other schools, too, because we have so many new coaches. But I do think that Ellender has the personnel. Listen, Ellender is the team that if you were playing against them year in and year out, you always hope that you could keep that cork in the bottle. Because if you let that cork out the bottle and let these kids experience what they can experience, what is possible for that team, the potential of those kids, it could be really dangerous. And Jesse, you know, we have Jesse on fairly often on the show on Saturday morning. I think he's that guy. You know, I think he's the guy that understands. He's from there. He's the first coach at Ellender to have ever been a graduate of Ellender. So he understands how to get over the hump. He was successful as a collegiate player. Yeah, I would watch out for Ellender because they got some supreme talent, especially this Hester kid at the running back and the Orion kid, Ryan James at the wide receiver. And now they have Ryan Williams back. It's interesting. Ryan Williams played there at Ellender 2 years ago. Then he played at Terrebonne last year. And now he's playing back at Ellender again this year. So I'm not quite sure how those circumstances happen. But nonetheless, he's a talented kid at quarterback. So you're right. Ellender may have all of the pieces this year.
Assumptions gets one touchdown in the live quarter against Central Lafourche. Central Lafourche struggled offensively in that one. But one thing I know Coach Keith Menard, and we're going to have him on a little bit later in the show, is going to talk to us about is they got close twice and didn't score also in that scrimmage. So you talked about first-year coaches. That scrimmage featured two of them, and it's going to be interesting to see little situational things. Like last night, for instance, special teams, South Lafourche and Patterson. South Lafourche struggled at times on special teams, but then later in the scrimmage recovered an onside kick. You know, just little things like that. There's always, you know, I think that blocking and tackling is going to be okay by and large, because those are the things that they focused heavily on. But what are those little nuances? You know, are you going to execute your swinging gait properly and, you know, steal an extra point during a game? Are you going to cover kicks? Are you going to, you know, snap the ball over your punter's head? How's that going to work? Assumption last night had an opportunity to put a couple of more in, didn't put it into the end zone, and I'm curious to see who does the little things well whenever we get to the upcoming season this coming Friday.
Well, the old moniker about scrimmages when I was coaching is unless you lose somebody to injury, you had a successful scrimmage. And what I mean by that
Amen.
Is if you go out and you play well, you got something that you can look back at with the kids and say, look how good we were, let's get better at this. If you go out and you don't play as well, you can improve. Quite honestly, I think teams in scrimmages that struggle just a little bit, that their kids mentally understand they have to get better at this or that, they're the teams that get the most out of scrimmage. And I got to tell you, when I think of that, just in seeing and reading about the scrimmages, I think B.J. Young's going to be happy because his team came on strong at the end of that scrimmage. I think that they understand that you can't just go out and play and it's going to all happen and, you know, and everything that happened in the scrimmage is good. And then I think those teams that scrimmage against teams that are much lesser than them, they get not a whole lot out of it. Don't get me wrong. It's a positive because you build up a little confidence. But you kids have a false sense of security because they think this is the way it's going to be. And for people out there who are like, well, no, not really. Trust me, as a high school coach, those kids believe sometimes that the scrimmage is the Super Bowl, and it's just not the case. So, again, although I think you can be positive about some of the things you did in a scrimmage, you have to keep it in perspective. And it was nice just to see the kids back on the field last night and on Thursday night.
Amen. One more before we wrap up this first segment. South Terrebonne and Thibodeau went back and forth at one another. Both teams got a bunch of touchdowns in the controlled part of the scrimmage. Then in the live quarter, at South Terrebonne who scores a walk-off 28-yard field goal from Shea Petrie. They, I guess, secure a 3-0 mark over that one. I got a feeling, Stan, that both of those teams are going to be really good. And it looks like from what we've read about in terms of that one, that was a well-played scrimmage from both sides.
Yeah, I would imagine that both of those coaches are probably happy with a lot of things and maybe disappointed with a few things. But from the standpoint of Thibodeau, who you know is going to be very athletic, in the controlled part of their scrimmage, it sounds like they moved the ball quite easily. So I'm sure Chris Dugas is happy about those things. Then you play a scrimmage type, a quarter five type situation, and they didn't play as well. So again, it's kind of back and forth. Hey, we got to get better at this, but we know we can be good at this. Vice versa, you have Archie Adams, who's probably ecstatic that his team really controlled the ball when they were playing that live quarter. They moved the ball down the field to get into territory to, again, I use your term air quotes, win it, because I hate to use that in scrimmages. People get so caught up in it. You know, we won our scrimmage. I actually heard somebody this morning say that. We won our scrimmage last night, and I wanted to turn to him. And I didn't know the people. I wanted to turn to the fella and say, you don't win a scrimmage. But that being said, I guess in a sort of sense, as I mentioned earlier, everybody wins. And Archie and his crew coming back to score that field goal late in that game is certainly a confidence booster going into a tough Terrebonne game next week.
The fact that we were able to have scrimmages yesterday touches on what you just said a minute ago. We were all winners last night and on Thursday night. It was so wonderful to be back out at the fields. It was so wonderful to be able to, you know, take pictures and hang out and see, you know, everybody out doing what they love to do. So kudos to everybody for their hard work and allowing that to happen. Show rundown, then we'll catch a break. We've got Lance LeDay of Vanderbilt Catholic in a couple of minutes. Assumption coach Keith Menard will be joining us at 9:30. Bottom of the hour, BJ Young, South Lafouche. And then at hour two, we're going to talk LSU. The Tigers are opening up their season in just a couple of hours. It feels so blissful to say that. They're going to be playing at 2:30 against Mississippi State. Then we're going to talk some NFL. And a reminder, after our show today, you're going to be able to hear Florida and Ole Miss here on ESPN 100.3. So a full day of football on the network. Can't wait to talk about it for the next 2 hours and can't wait to watch it for the rest of the day after that. So let's catch a quick break when we get back. Vanderbilt football coach Lance LeDay will be on the line. The Terriers scrimmaged a very good Terrebonne team and held their own. All that and more. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3, 1600 AM KLEB, 102.7 KLEB.
In our current COVID-19 climate, it's time to think differently about employee health, and Terrebonne General Medical Center's Workplace Readiness Team is here to help. With over 65 years of trusted leading-edge experience, we are here to provide the resources you need to keep your workforce healthy and prepared with COVID-19 testing, employee health risk screenings, cleaning protocols, a nurse hotline, and much more. A healthy workforce is a productive workforce. Schedule your workplace readiness assessment by calling 850-6214 or visit tgmc.com.
This is Christine Russell, Lafouche Parish District Attorney, asking for your vote in the upcoming election. The DA's office is prosecution, but it's so much more. Lafouche deserves a DA that's experienced in the courtroom, a DA that is active in the community, and a DA that's available to advise local government bodies. Our office is proven to be exactly that, an office committed to serving and protecting the citizens of Lafouche.
Early voting begins October 16th, and Election Day is November 3rd. Paid for by the Christine Russell Campaign Fund.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers is known for the things we do.
What we do is sell better diamonds at better prices.
We've never really talked about the things we don't do.
Do you think people are interested in the things we don't do?
I think they are.
Do you think we should tell them what we don't do?
I think we should.
We don't raise our prices by 20%, then say we're going to give you a 20% discount if you pay with cash.
No, we don't do that.
And we don't offer you 60 months interest-free financing if you pay the inflated price.
Why would a store make you pay 20% more if you financed your purchase?
Because finance companies charge the retailer 18% up front for 60-month interest-free financing.
In other words, those stores are just charging the customer all of the interest up front?
Bingo. That customer just paid 20% more money to get interest-free financing.
I think it's sad that someone would do that to a customer.
Me too, Lori.
Thanks for the education, big brother.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers, the largest diamond store in Louisiana, on Veterans between Bonneville and West End in Metairie. Tired of slow internet speeds or trying to watch everything on your phone? Vision Communications has a special 50-50 offer just for you. 50 megs at your home for only $50 a month. You will be connected for everything, streaming TV shows, surfing, and playing games. And Vision's 50 megs will keep everyone in the house happy at a great price. This offer is for your first 6 months of service and is for new internet customers only. As always, you will get the personal service you deserve from Vision. For offer details, visit us at viscom.net.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
A lot of teams around the state scrimmaged last night, but a couple of teams got a little bit of a head start. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. One of the coaches who had a Thursday scrimmage is on the line now, Vanderbilt Catholic head football coach Lance Ledé. Coach Ledé, good morning, man. How are you?
Good morning, guys.
Yeah, man. Interesting time of the year. You guys are busy, ready to prepare and play your week one games. But let's talk about your scrimmage first. Locked horns with Terrebonne. How did things go for you guys against the Tigers?
Well, first of all, I was just excited to get out there for the kids. I mean, it was a great atmosphere. Just seeing excitement in their eyes and the chance to play again, something that they thought they took away from them. You know, we got back, and that's when we preached to the kids and, you know, seize the moment, every opportunity, every snap. You know, it's priceless. But overall, I was very pleased the way we came out, injury-free, first of all, and I liked our effort. I liked the way we played with intensity. And I saw a lot of good things out there, obviously a few things that we need to correct.
From a perspective of playing on Thursday night, Lance, was that a situation where you guys, and I don't know if everybody out there even knows it, y'all decided to move the Berwick game up to Thursday night to open the season next week, so this kind of made sense that you kids would get acclimated to a Thursday night atmosphere, so to speak? Or was that always planned on a Thursday night?
No, Stan, it was a Friday night scrimmage, but what happened was with the shortest of officials due to COVID-19, the association actually moved my week one game up to a Thursday night, so I did. And with that happened, you know, I had to call Gary and say, hey, Gary, look, I'm opening up on a Thursday night. I'd rather play on Thursday. I wanted the kids to experience the Thursday game, obviously, so prepare for week one. And, look, we're student-athletes first and, you know, get back to school the next day. You know, the winners do the right thing. Get the class on time. Don't be late. And I want them to go experience that. So, and give them the 7 days rest that we need to recover.
Coach, you're a defensive guy, so I'm going to ask you the way your defense played against a very talented and athletic Terrebonne offense. What were some of the things you liked from that 11?
Well, I tell you what, we played really well against the run. In the control part of scrimmage, they hit a RPO against us, and they popped it for a big one and for there. But other than that, we played really well all night. During the live 25-minute quarter that we have, we held them out the end zone the whole time. So we played really well defensively against some great athletes, you know, a team that's been pretty powerful around here in the area the last couple of years. And I know Gary does a good job, and he got great players. So I was pleased on that end. You know, we had a couple big stands. We had to punt from our minus one. They got the ball on the plus 32, and, you know, the defense rose to the occasion, held them out the end zone, and we got a big sack, got them out of field goal range. So I was pleased the way the defense played. Now, look, we got some things we got to correct, as always, but overall, for our first outing, I like where we are right now as a defense and as a team compared to when I walked off the field on a Thursday night last year at this time.
What was probably the biggest worry that you had going into the scrimmage that by the time it was all said and done, you were pleasantly maybe surprised at the way that grouping played?
Well, obviously tackling, Stan. You know, obviously you got to do what you got to do in practice and try to stay healthy and take care of the kids. And you get out there and it's the first live bullets and you're going to get some great athletes. And overall, we tackle well. Like I said, we had that one mishap in space one time, and when we say tackling is, you know, the way the game's played, you got to defend the whole 53 now. And the one-on-one tackles in space, you got to get those guys on the ground. And that was my concern. And we had one mishap. And other than that, I thought we tackle pretty well.
Coach, in terms of, you know, the new protocols and, you know, the masking on the sidelines and the distancing and everything like that, I know it's a little bit different, but, you know, what was that game day operation like for you guys on Thursday?
Well, look, obviously, Casey, we've been preaching it, you know, in practice and in meetings and in the locker room and in the weight room, so I don't think it was any change. You know, we've become preachers of habit, so I think we were prepared for it. You know, the water situation was a little different. You got to bring 400, 500 water bottles out to a game. That's a little different. It's a little hectic on Brett, obviously. But other than that, I think things went fine.
Listen, big kudos to you because, quite honestly, of all of the schools, and listen, everybody did a great job. Everybody in the Bayou region that I've seen or had any kind of relationship with the football season has done a great job with the protocol related to COVID. But, man, I don't know of a school that has done more to be prepared for any situation that comes up than you guys at Vanderbilt Catholic. I know, and Casey and I were talking about this on air last week, and I didn't mention the school, but I'll go ahead and mention it now. You guys actually had a situation where you held coaches back just a little bit away from the playing field so that if any coach, you know, God forbid, may have had the virus or had to sit out for any reason, you were ready for that. So kudos for doing that. But isn't it nice that now that the scrimmage is out the way, I don't think we're going to be talking about this COVID protocol anymore. It's going to be more about what's going on the field, right?
I 100% agree, Stan. I think we've come to the realization that, hey, look, we can move forward now. And listen, and that's COVID-19 is a real virus. And I respect the virus and I respect everything that's going on. But I think if you prepare yourself, just like for anything in life, you can handle the adversity and get through it. It's second nature to us. I mean, we're not going to ignore the virus. We're going to do the right things. And like you said, we prepared. I pulled myself out of a practice in case my principal ever said, Lance, you have to be quarantined. And that's hard to do. I've never missed a practice in 23 years. And, you know, and I pulled my OC out. He's gone. Because I call the defense, my OC calls the offense. So you have to be prepared. So I wanted to get the kids aware of what can happen, you know, and they handled everything, you know, really well.
Coach, you got Berwick on Thursday night. This is an opponent that you guys played very well against last season, but every year is a new start and a new beginning. Do you know much about them? And regardless, what are some of your keys and what are some of your bullet points that you're looking to cross off here on Thursday?
Yeah, I watched them play last night against Central Catholic of Morgan City. And they look really well in the control portion of the scrimmage. Quarterback does a heck of a job. Running back's pretty good. Their linebackers are active. They got number 11 is a real good receiver. You know, they're going to give us a 3-3 stack, and they're going to come from everywhere, which is good for us. We saw it last week against Fairborn. So, you know, we're working on them right now. And it's going to be a quality opponent. They look pretty well against a mint coach team that I know Tommy always does a great job.
So talking about that, what is the protocol now going forward as far as is it still a huddle situation where you and Mike Walker, the coach at Berwick, decided how y'all were going to exchange film? And I realize it's a matter of just going to look at huddle. Or for this first game, is there nothing? It was just you going out and watching last night, and that's basically all you have to go on?
No, Mike and I are buddies. So, and look, coaching's a fraternity. You know that, Stan. Everybody's pretty close. I called Mike months ago and said, hey, look, Mike, you know, we're going to get a scrimmage, and that's it. And we're going to exchange film. Oh, yeah, scrimmage film. So we exchanged them 7:45 this morning. And, you know, you only got one scrimmage film. You don't have the jamboree, so you're working off of one film. And obviously I'm working off of their scrimmage in my last year game against them because obviously they like what they had going into the game against us last year, which I think is the most important film to look at. When you have the same offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator, they have something they like against you, and that's what they're going to like. So you concentrate a lot on your film from last year, if it's the same staff, and the one scrimmage. But it was a mutual agreement. That's what we're going to do, and I think that's pretty consistent across the state. Everybody's going to trade that film.
And you touched on this a minute ago, Coach, but you guys got out of the scrimmage 100% healthy. Everybody's good to go?
Yes, sir. Everybody's good to go, and we're injury-free. We had four starters that were withheld out of scrimmage, two offensive linemen, two defensive linemen, and I get them back Monday. So, you know, we're going in week one 100%. That's a lot different than last year when we went week one down seven starters.
7 o'clock start time on Thursday at your place, right, Coach? So you're going to be sort of the spotlight. You're going to be the first high school game, at least in our Bayou region, that gets going. So that's got to be exciting for the kids.
Oh, that's what I just told the coaching staff. You know, it feels like my first game I'm preparing for. I'm just so excited. You know, somebody, there's an opportunity ahead of us that we didn't know we were going to have. And, boy, it makes you think and come to the realization that how lucky we are to be in this situation right now.
Amen. Well, look, Coach, thanks so much for the time. Good luck in week one.
Thank y'all, guys. Y'all have a good one.
You too. That is Lance Ledé with Vanderbilt, doing a great job as always. Didn't realize that they had moved their game up to Thursday, so we look forward to seeing how that one shakes out. Stan, I just got a feeling that with the Terriers, like we've not talked a whole lot about them. I don't hear folks locally talking a lot about them, but I got a feeling, given the way they finished last season, winning 5 out of 6, playing great defense, returning a lot of players off of that team, got a feeling they're going to be awfully good.
Listen, it's not going to be a surprise to me. I thought it at the very end of last year. Obviously, you know, we talk about people getting better or teams getting better and better. That's what Vanderbilt did last year. Every week from game 1 to game 10, they got a little bit better. You could see that Coach Ledé is very adamant about laying a solid foundation, and that's what they're doing there. So it would be surprising to me, quite honestly, if this team wins the district. And I know that's a big, you know, you talk about Assumption, who's been good every year. We talked about South Terrebonne being a little bit better. I know Coach Young's going to have them going at South Lafourche. Ellender's super talented. But if you pass on Vanderbilt Catholic, especially that defense, I don't know how you're going to score against that defense. I think they're going to be really, really good, and I understand they have a good young quarterback there this year. It's going to be tough, and Lance Ledé's always got his teams prepared. So you're right. It could be a team that is going to be very successful this season. I just am interested to see how everybody handles all of this summertime situation. Remember, Vanderbilt was one of those teams that was in this entire time during this COVID period. And I'm not talking about the spring, but I'm talking about since summer started. So I think you're right. I think they're a team that you better keep an eye on. And if you don't, they're going to come up and whip you.
Got a note here on the cell phone. One of the scrimmages that we didn't mention in the first segment that I would like to mention now, because there's a local team that played really well. H.L. Bourgeois went out to Morgan City, scored a 13-0 victory in the live quarter. And from, you know, based on the story here that I'm reading, it looks like they pretty much controlled the controlled portion of the scrimmage as well. So kudos to Coach Anderson and the Braves. And, you know, hey, man, for, you know, we talk about how, you know, the results don't matter and this, that, and the other. And I don't think that they do, but when you're a struggling team coming off of a rough year, it is good to beat somebody early and get that, you know, that taste of some fresh blood. And the Braves got a 13-0 live quarter win against Morgan City, so kudos to them.
Yeah, I don't mean to downplay saying that a team doesn't necessarily win a scrimmage. I guess the little victories are that you build up a little bit confidence going forward. I understand they had some big plays in that scrimmage last night against Morgan City. So, yeah, I agree. And listen, what makes it even more interesting is that this week they're going to open up with Ellender Memorial, where Twoski Anderson was a longtime coach, right? Not only
yep.
that, he was the coach of Jesse Turner. So, you know, that makes it even a little more interesting. So if you go out and you play Morgan City in a scrimmage last night and you totally play bad, certainly there is not a whole lot to be gained as far as confidence. You know, you're going to improve on your play a little bit, but, you know, you're just not going to have a high confidence level. So I'd imagine that was a big boost for the Braves last night in that game.
Very good. So let's catch a quick break. When we get back, Assumption football coach Keith Menard will be on the line. Coach Menard is fresh off of his scrimmage and getting ready to take on E.D. White on Friday night. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute right here on ESPN 100.3.
Greg's SUV clearance sale is going on now at Greg LeBlanc Toyota. Highlanders, RAV4s, and 4Runners are all marked down to the lowest prices. Plus, Greg LeBlanc needs your trade-in today to restock our used inventory. Great service, great deals. That's the Greg LeBlanc way. Our goal is to save every buyer $2,000. $2,000. Go to our website and find your perfect ride. That's Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. GregLeBlancToyota.com.
Hello, this is State Senator Gary Smith from District 19. I want to let you know that I am very concerned about the impact COVID-19 is having on each and every one of us. To stay cautious and practice social distancing, wash hands often, remember to not touch your face, and watch out for your older family members and neighbors. I have been working very hard along with our other elected officials and the governor, and we are taking this very seriously. Please listen for daily news. As everyone does their part, we will prevail. Thank you.
Archie Manning here for Thibodeau Regional. In the Manning household, we're pretty serious about sports. And just like the team at the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional, we're also very serious about sports safety. As the region's leader in First Comprehensive Sports Medicine Program, they've been in the game longer with certified athletic trainers, fellowship-trained sports medicine physicians, and neuro-sports-trained experts. So play hard, play to win, but play it safe with the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Set yourself up for success when planning your next event. Whether it's wedding, festival, Mardi Gras, rodeo, or concert, Joseph the Contractors knows that it's important to cover your bases. Joseph the Contractors can supply multi-stall restroom, air-conditioned trailers anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Planning a luxury event? Check out their new black tie luxury restroom and shower trailers. Visit Joseph at viscom.net with locations in Cutoff, Thibodeau, Fouchon, and Abbeville.
Feels like a normal Saturday morning, you know, watching college game day, talking to high school coaches about on-field competition. It doesn't get any better than that. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Joining us on the line now, Assumption football coach Keith Menard. Coach Menard, good morning, man. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Y'all coming all the way up north to talk to us. Oh, hey, that's good stuff.
Absolutely, my friend. You guys are fresh off of your scrimmage against a familiar foe. You were taking on the team that you'd been coaching for the last several years. How you think you guys played?
Well, you know, I mean, if you'd asked me last night, I'd probably say, you know, hey, we did all right after watching the film this morning. We didn't do too good. But, you know, I think anytime you scrimmage, I mean, you're looking to see where you got to improve. I don't think anybody is at week 12 game form, you know, at a scrimmage, no matter how long we've been and all, you know, at it. And, you know, I think with us putting a new offense and, you know, Coach Vedros over there sending all them blitzes that he does, you know, I think, you know, we missed some early and then we kind of fixed it up a little bit and we ended up doing better offensively down the road and feel good about us right now, especially, how good defensively, you know, we're playing right now.
Listen, this question has to be asked. I wasn't just standing on that sideline on the other side over there at Trojan Field. Was that a little weird?
Yeah, you know, at first, you know, when you drive up and I'm driving up on the visitor side, you know, but after, you know, once we get into it, it was okay. You know, you're not even thinking about that. But, you know, it was definitely a different look, you know.
Coach, one of the things that we were kind of talking about in the first segment is you guys moved the ball and then didn't, you know, necessarily finish drives there at the end. I know that's something you're going to want to clean up before week one.
No doubt. You know, like in the quarter we scored and then we went back down there and didn't score early on. We had a big pass play and then that was our 15th play. We weren't allowed to finish that drive. You know, I'm just, you know, when you make the mental mistakes that we made it's really tough to, you know, believe that, you know, we actually moved the football, you know, and but we did. I was real pleased with our running backs. He's a junior, you know, Jaquise Gilton, and he's he didn't play. I mean, this is his first meaningful reps, and I thought he had a really good night along with our quarterback and a few other guys. But I was really excited with us being able to run the football like we did.
Talk a little bit about your quarterback, because last year when I'm watching huddle film and we're watching things over at HTV for Friday Night Sports, I'm, like, thoroughly impressed with the kid, and I hope I'm saying his last name right. Is it Revere?
Yeah, Revere.
So that being said, and obviously I know he had a couple of big pass plays again last night. Talk about him, and obviously, you know, when we think of Keith Menard and we think of offenses, you always are a developer of quarterbacks. How do you feel about him going forward?
Love him to death. He's a hard worker, but mentally is where he's gotten better. You know, just picking up the offense, knowing where he needs to go with the football, and really excited with his progress, you know. And I've been blessed, you know, this year that I was able to hire Stephen Ensminger Jr. to actually coach the quarterbacks. And, you know, so he's got me, you know, but he's got Stephen. And so he's getting, you know, Stephen's doing a great job with him, and he's picking up all the points, and he's just working hard every day to improve. And, you know, as a quarterback, that's what you should be setting an example for the rest of your teammates, and he's doing that. And he really has had a great fall up to this point.
Most important thing, Coach, did you get out of the scrimmage injury-free?
From what I know, yes. We'll see our guys here in about 25 minutes. And as of now, it's all good. And, you know, typical bumps, you know, bumps and bruises. But, you know, really excited, you know, coming out of there, knock on wood, with no injuries.
You just mentioned Shelly a bit, Shelly Vidros, who was your defensive coordinator over at Central Lafourche. Talk about your defense, because Assumption's defense has always been really good. Who is your defensive coordinator, and just maybe some personnel on that side of the ball?
Well, you know, Charles Jefferson played here and coached with Tony Payne a couple of years ago, left last year. And then we were fortunate enough to get him back. He's actually the defensive coordinator. I think he's got to be 26 or whatever, 27, and doing a fabulous job. You know, he's got the kids playing hard. I thought last night we ran the ball extremely well. I thought we fought off of blocks well. And, you know, those are the kind of things you've always seen from, an Assumption defense, you know, and I think we gave up one big play, and then after that, I mean, we really shut them down. I was really pleased with our defense. I'm excited about some of our guys we have on that side of the football. You know, we got Jarius Bridges, who's back as a senior at linebacker. We like him a lot. We got some, you know, DBs with Dontrell Thompson. We call him Tonka. He's one of the corners. He had a good night. Shea Thibodeau. Play some free, play some corner, play some strong. He's a senior, and really like him a lot. And there's a few other guys, but our front four, we're playing like six or seven guys up there that really all can run. They tall and lean, and you know, so we like right now. We really like our defense, and we scrimmaged ourselves last Friday, and they kind of took it to us too. So. You know, I think we got a chance to have what I would call a typical Assumption defense. You know, really can run the ball and make plays.
Coach, week one facing a very well coached, very well disciplined D.D. White team. What are some of the things you got to do well to get the win?
Well, you know, live special teams for the first time scares me all the time, and that's what I love. That's one of my things that I put on me. You know, that I'm the guy in charge of that. And usually you have a jamboree to go out there, and if you make a mistake, okay, you could correct it into week one. Well, now there's no correcting into week one. You know, we're there. I worry about that. I think we got to be sound there. I think we got to do some really good things special teams-wise, for us to be there. I think defensively, you know, we're really aggressive, and I with their option game, we're going to have to be smart, and we're going to have to play assignment football, which is always you know, difficult because you might do it once a year. So, you know, I think that's the second thing. And I think the third thing is, you know, we just can't turn the ball over. And, you know, I know that's all coach speak, but for us, I think we got to be really sound offensively by not turning the ball over. And you know, I think we're going to be able to move the football, at different times. You know, the thing about Eddie White, they're so disciplined on defense. You know, we're going to have to be really sound up front and do all the right things there, you know, for drives to continue. And as you brought up earlier, Casey, finishing drives. So all of that put together, you know, I think it's going to be a heck of a football game. And, I would say looking forward to a great crowd, but we're limited. So, you know, maybe we'll get an open up this week and, you know, we could play, you know, put a few more people in the stands.
Listen, we kind of know about your scheme on offense. You've talked about that. We know about assumptions defense in the past and what we'll see scheme-wise going forward. My question is will we see the swinging gate offense on extra point and field goals this year?
Well, absolutely.
That's a given, huh?
You're not expecting that to change, and I think the kids know that that's coming. I mean, I talked to them about it already. And look, you know, we always got some, you know, new stuff and new wrinkles we're putting in with it. And, you know, it is what it is. I mean, I could have said, oh, no, we're not doing that. And but I'm sure somebody at EU White's listening, so they'll go back, get some film and do it. But that's fine. you know, I'm good with that. Like, you know, I mean, here it is. I mean, I'm not hiding anything. And if they haven't already gotten some Central LaFouche film, I'm sure they will. So, but it is what it is. You know, I think special team wise, we're a little behind, and, you know, we're going to have to pick it up this week to really get things going.
Good luck, man. We look forward to seeing your week one result, and we look forward to having you on throughout the season, Coach.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
Yes, sir. That is Assumption football coach Keith Menard doing a good job as always. And from what we were reading in the scrimmage, their defense was masterful, and he's talking about how, you know, they're locking up the offense in practices, and that was a good group last year. Looks like it's going to be a good group this year. And as you know, Stan, if the other team can't score but 10, 14 points, then you're never going to be far away, even if your offense is struggling. So Assumption's got a very mean defense, and that's what wins championships.
Yeah, but I don't think their offense is going to struggle, and that makes it that much more scary. Yeah. You know, I think that Assumption is they've always been a 2-deep playoff team. If you had to categorize them, it's sort of 2-deep. You know, they were going to win that first round. Second round was going to be a really tough game, maybe win it, maybe go to the third round, but it was always a tough game for Assumption. I think that they're moving on from that. I think that it's now achieving the next level, and it's kind of scary how good Assumption can be, because I'm telling you, this kid, Sage Rivera, quarterback, is really good. He is a good, solid high school quarterback. And if you have a good quarterback with everything he's got around him, because we didn't even mention Jaden Toller at all in that interview, right? And if you're not mentioning Jaden Toller and talking about all these other kids, you really got something special. So, yeah, I would tell everybody, watch out for Assumption. Now, we just said the same thing about Vanderbilt, obviously. We know South LaFouche is going to be a lot better. Coach Adams and those guys at South Terrebonne, Ellen. So we're saying this about a lot of teams. But remember, Assumption has always been sort of the front runner in 8-4A, and I don't think they want to give up that seat to anybody else. So it ought to be a fun year this year.
Yeah, by and large, I think that 4A district, the floor is raising a little bit. I think the teams are getting better, and it's going to be an exciting year. Let's catch a quick break when we get back. South LaFouche football coach B.J. Young will be on the line. It's the Sports Corner, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3, 1600 AM KLEB, 102.7 The New KLEB.
Call today and be cool tonight. Crescent AC and Heat will save you time, money, and sweat this summer. One call does it all. Crescent AC and Heat will clean your AC condenser and do a full check of your AC for only $49. You heard right, $49. Call the best for less this summer. Crescent AC and Heat at 504-777-1234. That's 504-777-1234. And remember, go Tigers.
Terrio, Douay, and Terrio. More than just an insurance company, they're marine insurance specialists. Whether it's fishing boats, cabin cruisers, sailboats, or marine industry, you can trust Terrio, Douay, and Terrio to get you the coverage you need at a price you deserve for your home, your auto, life, fire, and health. They've been taking care of people since 1957. Call Terrio, Douay, and Terrio at 475-5126. Just ask for Lynn Pierce or David O. along Bayou Lafourche in Golden Meadow.
Need to see a doctor but don't want to leave the comforts of your home? Terrebonne General Medical Center telehealth is your answer. Our clinics provide same-day virtual appointments. Our highly trained physicians and nurse practitioners are committed to using leading-edge technology to better serve patients navigating the new normal. 70% of patients using virtual appointments for the first time comment on how easy it is to set up. All you need is a smartphone, tablet, or home computer. Visit tgmc.com/mychart to learn more.
Right now, Allstate has almost as many ways to save as there are types of music. Save for being a new customer. Save more for adding DriveWise. And save even more for driving safely. Visit Allstate.com or contact your local agent to get a quote. Find out how much you can save today. Allstate, now that should be music to your ears.
Not available in every state. New customer savings based on early signing discount. DriveWise is an optional feature. Savings vary based on how you buy. Subject to terms and conditions. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
Saunders and Chabe are attorneys at law, have dedicated their practice to assisting serious accident victims with the highest quality and personal legal representation possible. You may have heard of Saunders and Chabe through word of mouth, but Saunders and Chabe specializes in serious motor vehicle accidents, offshore river accidents, and injuries occurring on the job. They fight hard for their clients. Visit SaundersChabert.com or call Scotty Boy Chabert at 888-815-1974 for a free consultation. Saunders and Chabe, fighting hard for you all across Louisiana.
We're going to be talking some LSU at the top of hour two. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. But before we talk some LSU, we're going to talk some Tarpons with Tarpon football coach B.J. Young, who's on the line. Coach Young, good morning, man. How are you?
Good morning, man. I'm doing well. And yourself?
Doing fine, brother. Interesting night last night. You guys took the field for some live fire from another opponent, scrimmage Patterson, and Coach, I'm sure you're going to say the same thing that everybody else has said, some good and some bad, huh?
Absolutely, man. We did some things that we did real well, you know. I thought our effort on both sides of the ball was awesome, you know, very excited. You know, we just met with the guys and watched the tape, and, you know, that's what we told them, you know, very excited about the effort from all 11. And, you know, you can coach that, and you make little corrections on stuff, but, man, when the kids play that hard, you know, it's refreshing as a coach when you watch the tape. So, real happy for our guys and, you know, with the effort that they gave.
Are you happy, Coach, with the physicality of the kids? I know there wasn't a lot of physical practice that went on with this pandemic situation. So, the tackling, the way you kids got after it, I know you said they played hard. So, happy with being physical last night?
Yeah, I am. You know, like I said, we watched it again this morning, and I thought the kids played hard. They were physical, you know, and that's something that we preach to them every day. You know, there's no choice but to be physical with everything we do. So, yeah, like I said, man, I thought the effort was there, and I thought they played hard, and I thought they got after it.
One thing that I was impressed with, Coach, you played two live quarters, and, I mean, by and large, really didn't have very many penalties. So given the shutdown and given the time away, you played pretty clean football as well.
Yeah. We, as a staff, we were very excited about that. You know, once again, though, that's something that we do, you know, in our team sessions and stuff like that. You know, if we see where it would have been a holding call or a pass interference, you know, we make sure we address it and we handle it, you know, on the spot so they know, you know, that they're going to get called for that on Friday night if they were to do something like that.
Anything that surprised you about last night? Maybe a grouping that played better than you thought they might play, or a grouping that actually disappointed you a little bit last night?
Look, I was excited as a team. You know, you go down 20-6. you know, with 4 minutes left, and the kids never quit. And, you know, you when you look at them in the face, it's like they still believed we could win. And, you know, that's good because as coaches, we believe, you know, it's not over till the last whistle blows. And, you know, that's kind of what we told them. And with, you know, with 4 minutes left, you know, you fight back and you got a chance to win the game at the end with a two-point conversion and you fall a little short. But just real refreshing with that. You know, I thought Matt Jalbert played great. You know, we threw him in the fire with 4 minutes left and two-minute drills, and he let us down twice to win the football game. And you know, Pat Gisclair played well, too. He did some things that he did real well, and there's some things, you know, maybe me from a play call standpoint could have put him in a little better situation. But, you know, I thought both guys did some things real well. And but real proud of our team for not quitting, you know, down 20-6 with 4 minutes left. And then look, you should never quit. But you know, when you deal with kids, and you know, you never know, man. But our guys are tough, and it shows.
Coach, your running back has an engine that just never stops. And the thing that I was thinking to myself as I was leaving the stadium last night was, this was a two-quarter scrimmage, and Patterson at the end of that second quarter was already kind of getting tired of tackling this kid. In four-quarter games, that kid's going to be a bear.
Yeah, look, Casey's our strongest kid on the team, you know, and like I said, it shows. He runs through arm tackles, and I can't tell you if I ever seen the first guy bring him down, you know, and then on top of being a good football player, he's a great kid. So he does things the right way on and off the field, and that's why things kind of go his way. You know, a play that sticks out to me is, you know, in a two-minute drill, the first one we were in, you know, 4 minutes left, we threw a screen pass, and he like, dropped low and caught the ball and kept his knee off the ground and broke, like, four tackles after that, you know. So it makes you know, look good as a coach, but it ain't nothing that we're doing. It's just that he's a good football player.
Listen, Central Lafourche and Thibodeau High School have always been such rival games for South Lafourche High School. They're not in your district anymore. I'm not sure it carries the same luster as it used to. But you're opening up next week against one of those teams. Maybe it's to your advantage not being necessarily a South or a Central or a Thibodeau guy going into this. But do you even hear the kids murmur now that this week is upon you? You said you met with the kids this week, that it's a big game for you guys just from, you know, that's your neighbor right down the road, and you got to get ready to go in game one. So here we go. It's rival time right off the bat.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be a big game. It's big for both communities and both schools. You know, what I told the guys this morning is, you know, we're just going to take them for who they are. You know, we're not worried about the decal inside the helmet or, you know, anything like that. You know, we're going to control what we can control and take care of the Tarpons. And if we do what we need to do, you know, we'll be fine. But it's going to be a good game, man. We're looking forward to it as coaches and players. It's a nice atmosphere to play in. And but you know, we're going to take it for what it is, and we're going to play, you know, the team and not the decal inside the helmet.
Two-part question, Coach. First, talk about the poise of Jalbert to, you know, kid hadn't even played football at South Lafourche before, and then he steps in the middle of a two-score game late and leads the team down the field for two scores. And then the second part of that is, do you have plans to pick one or the other, or is it a situation where you could play both guys on Friday nights?
Yeah, Matt looked great. You know, he stepped in and down, and he comes in and he slings it around a little bit, and he moves us down and scores twice. You know, he texted me the night before he wanted the call sheet. You know, so that kind of tells you a little bit how he is. And he comes to work every day. You know, he takes mental reps. He stands by me, you know, when Pat's in there getting reps. And it's vice versa, too. You know, Pat stands by me and takes mental reps, too. We're going to evaluate it. And, you know, we're going to see where the week takes us. But like I say, to give you an answer right now, you know, we don't know. And we're going to let them battle it out, and, you know, we're going to put the best 11 on the field. But I think the world of both kids, and I think they both bring, you know, positives to the table.
Kind of nice, because if one of them's hot, obviously you go with them. But if one of them's not, you always got that guy you can kind of go to. So not necessarily a bad situation to have a two-quarterback system.
Yeah, you know, it's good for us. You know, the issue is, and we talked about it last night, is, you know, you got four receivers on the field. You know, you got five D-linemen, or four D-linemen, you got – five O-linemen, you got two linebackers, but there's only one quarterback. You know, so it's a little tougher deal, but it's definitely refreshing as a coaching staff to have two guys that, you know, you can plug in there, and they give you a chance to win every Friday night.
Coach, you got some linebackers, and I mean this as a compliment. that are mean. Conley and Alamo are mean. They don't shy away from contact. In fact, Coach Brian Colley and I were joking last night. There was a play last night where the Patterson receiver caught the ball with his knee on the ground, and it looked like Wes Alamo was furious that he wasn't able to lay the leather on that kid because his knee was on the ground. Just talk about the physicality of your backers back there.
Yeah, man, I think you said it right. They mean, you know. We wasn't going. I'm gonna tell you how they are. You know, we wasn't gonna put them on the kickoff team, and they came in the office and they were mad. You know, no, coach, like, we want to be on the kickoff team. And I was like, man, you know, the last thing we need is to go down there and lose or whatever. And then, no, coach, we need to set the tone. You know, like, we want to be the ones to go down there and set the tone. And, man, you know, thankful that we have those two guys. They just, man, they're super physical. You know, like you said, they mean, they're on the verge of being crazy. You know, they just, they good. I tell you what, I'm glad they're on our team and we don't have to play them every week.
Assess yourself a little bit. Obviously, it was your first game as a head coach playing somebody else, not game. Let me rephrase that. It was your first scrimmage. Obviously, it's not the real deal per se. But I know as a coach, a lot of times you go to bed at night after a game or a scrimmage or whatever the case may be where there was competition involved, and you sort of think back at the things you could have done different, the things that you thought you did really well. What was your night when you went to bed last night? What were the things you were thinking about related to the scrimmage?
Yeah, you know, I thought we started slow on offense, but that's on me. You know, I got to do a better job preparing them to come out the gate fast. And like I said, you know, I could have put Pat in some bad situations with a few of the play calls early, you know, trying to get him going. I gotta be better to start the game, you know, and it's on me to get the kids ready to go. And, you know, so that's unacceptable. And I'm picky on myself. You know, I'm hard on myself. So, you know, that was heavy on me. But I thought we responded well and we started grooving late. And, like I said, that's a lot to do with the kids that we have because, you know, they play hard, man. And, like you say, you know, towards the end of the scrimmage, you know, I feel like we started wearing on them a little bit. And that's because of, you know, the grit that we showed. But, you know, like I say, man, I'm hard on myself and, we're going to be better. We're going to correct it and we're going to get better.
Coach Stan and I talk a lot about special teams, especially early in the season, because that's a phase that maybe doesn't get as much time or attention. Last night, you guys had two delay games, you know, getting the punt team onto the field and missed an extra point. I know on Monday that's going to be something you're going to be cracking the whip hard. Make sure you get those things cleaned up.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, have some positives, and especially, and like you say, that those are three deals, you know, that and we also had a muff punt return. You know, that's special teams miscues that, you know, that cannot happen. You know, that can't happen. And but we also did some good things too. You know, I thought our kickoff coverage was really good. I also thought, you know, when you recover two of the three onside kicks, now one of them was offsides on them, but when you recover two of the three, you know, that's really good too. So you know, you take with the good with the bad, and you know, that's what scrimmages are for. You know, you get to see them in live action with the play clock, and you know, you get to get back and you know, correct it on Saturday morning. So yeah, man, look, we paid a lot of attention to special teams, and you know, we're gonna make the corrections, and we got to get it fixed. You know, as coaches, we're gonna get it fixed.
This morning you said you met with the kids. Was it more about looking back at the scrimmage last night, or is it looking forward to the game this upcoming week?
Yeah, we hadn't watched any on Central yet. You know, our Saturday mornings, we watched the tape from the previous night. So today was all about the scrimmage and making corrections and, you know, showing them what they did well and, you know, things that we like and things that we need to improve on. And so that's kind of how our Saturday mornings go. And, you know, they do well, man. They sit there and you know, they listen and they absorb it because, you know, we had to rewatch the intra-squad. You know, we watched that film on Monday, and we had a lot of corrections to make, and we've made it. And, you know, when you see that correction that you make the previous week and you see it on the film the next week, you know, it's good to see that because, you know the kids are listening and they're giving you all they got, you know. So, you know, hopefully we'll see the correction that we made this morning. We'll see those throughout the week. We'll see them working on those, and then hopefully it shows up on the film next Saturday morning.
Coach, well, look, we thank you so much for the time, and good luck in week one, brother.
All right, man. Thank y'all.
Yes, sir. That is B.J. Young with South Lafourche High School. Stan, I was getting deja vu last night, and what I meant by that was there was a team in blue who was kicking onside kicks versus a team in black and red, and the team in blue kept recovering them over and over again. Just something about those onside kicks with the team in blue and versus the team in black and red.
Listen, I thought about you last week, no doubt. Actually, I sent you a text right after. That was pretty amazing what happened in that game, obviously referring to the Cowboys and the Falcons. Man, poor Falcons. Whether you're a fan or not, there comes a point where you just got to say, wow, that team is jinxed when it comes to things like that. let me say this about that interview we just did with BJ. We did not, ready for this, Casey? We did not mention pandemic or COVID one time in that entire interview with BJ Young.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
I thought about it at the very end. Obviously, we talked about the physicality of the team, and I guess that was a reference to maybe not getting the physical part of the practices in on time. But to be honest with you, it was about what's happening on the field, and I think that's what's going to happen more and more every week. So that's nice.
Guys,
can't wait.
Just got a text, and it said, it looks like Taysom Hill got inserted into the game in the second quarter. Referring to Jalbert's two drives. He's a beast.
Jalbert played.
He's a beast.
Jalbert played very well. He played very, very well.
So tell me about him, because I do know, obviously, the Just Claire kid from seeing him from last year. But y'all are saying this is kind of his first time out there, and he's sort of the kind of kid that can do the Taysom Hill-type Swiss knife stuff?
He has not played football in 10 years, man. And he was a baseball kid and still is a baseball kid. Decided, hey, I'm going to go out for my senior year. He came in, and look, the rush was coming. He was stepping into throws, through contact, let him down the field for two scoring drives. Good athlete, was making play, nimble on his feet. Looked very sharp out there. Very, very sharp.
Very good. Very good.
And guys, his dad is from Boston. He's about 6'2", 6'3", pretty strong man. And Jalbert was pretty short a couple of years ago playing baseball, and I met him for the first time in the press box when we made that playoff run. And that kid just sprouted up and filled out. So he reminds me of Taysom Hill. We have Coach Rod, if y'all want to grab him.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Coach Rod, good morning, man. How are you?
You know, and
good morning. How y'all doing?
We're doing great, brother. Anxious to be talking about high school football.
I went to the San Junior Mini scrimmage Thursday night, and that was lots of athletes on the field. And last night I saw the beginning of the Thibodeau South Airboat, then I ran over to watch something in Central.
Say that again. I'm sorry. Yes, in a matcha green latte, venti.
Okay, we're ordering coffee, Coach.
Yes. No, that would be all.
All right, just drive around.
I got it. I got it now. She's finished. I mean, I saw two good quarterbacks. The Thibodeau quarterback and then the Assumption quarterback, those two guys are elite. I mean, they both threw the ball around. Assumption's defense was aggressive. I mean, they got after Central last night. And then Central did some good things, but that's the couple of things that I noticed. And then the number of athletes at the A-Meet St. James game.
Coach, we talked a little bit of high school with you, and I got to ask you, man, how the Tigers are going to look today? You think they're going to be sharp?
Well, I think when the game's going to be over, we're going to win, and I don't know if we're going to cover with points and everything, but we're probably going to be disappointed that it's not the Texas A&M game. And, you know, we our expectations of Miles and the defense are so high that I'm just scared that we won't fulfill the fans. Now, they're going to play good, we're going to win and all that stuff, but I think we're going to have an empty feeling when the game's over that we didn't blow them out or do like we did last year. But, I mean, you know, Aaron's going to have him ready. Bellini's going to have him ready. And Miles is going to play as good as Miles can play.
Do you have a good sense about playing a Mike Leach offense? I mean, I realize, you know, as a defensive guy, as you are, or for most of your career, is this something that might present problems for the LSU defense? Or do you think, you know what, the athletic talent LSU is going to take care of that offense?
I think what Mike Leach does, he frustrates you because he has so many angles and he's coming at you so fast that they're going to make some plays. They're going to make some catches. But we're going to make plays too. And, you know, I mean, when they're going to probably snap the ball 80 times unless we take the ball and run it, you know, and keep it out of their hands, which, you know, so that's what I think is going to be. I think I'm just waiting to see Miles, you know, make the decision making. His arm throwing it, he's going to be fine. But the decision making before the snap, that's the part I want to see about him that we got spoiled with Burrow and Brady and Insmith. I mean, it was I think that's going to be the fuzzy part. I can't wait to see that part.
Well, Coach, we're up against top of the hour break. Thanks so much for the time, and look forward to chatting with you soon.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Yes, sir. That is Coach Rod doing a great job. As always, let's take our commercial break. When we get back, we're going to keep the train rolling, talking about the Tigers. They're going to be playing in just a couple hours. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
Ever walk in the kitchen late at night and there's T. Roach? He's a tough bayou bug, so he don't run. He just stares at you, knowing he's got hundreds of hungry buddies around your house ready to take his place when he's gone. Luckily, we have Terminex and local experts Dan and Billy Foster ready to rid your home or business of pests, from nasty roaches to destructive termites. Call for a free inspection.
So call those bayou boys. They'll get you Terminex tough.
Medications can be scary sometimes, but necessary for our health and well-being. Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy's staff are trained in finding you the lowest cost available on your medication. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options. Patients who take their medications as prescribed have better health outcomes. Stop by one of our pharmacies today, located in Rouse's Supermarket on Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. We want to thank Coach Rod, BJ Young, Keith Menard, Lance Ledé, all for spending some time on their Saturday morning with us. And a reminder, we're 9 to 11 today because we've got the Florida Ole Miss game here on the network. SEC football is here. We're going to spend this segment talking about the LSU Tigers as they're going to be taking on Mississippi State in a 25% full Death Valley later this afternoon. Stan, I don't have a beat on this one. LSU's a 16.5 point favorite. We're going to, you know, make our picks on that later in the show. But I could see it going either way. You lose so many guys off of your team. And I think back to a game in the year 2004. And this was fresh off of LSU winning the 2003 national championship. They opened up their season at home against Oregon State with a lot of fresh faces and struggled throughout that game. They won 22-21. I think LSU is going to be a little bit cleaner than they were on that 2004 date against Oregon State because that game also was played in the middle of a monsoon. But I could see an ugly four-quarter game that LSU just kind of, you know, figures it out as the game goes on, because there's going to be some rust, man. You're replacing almost every one of your starters with the exception of just a couple of guys here and there. There's going to be some rust. It's going to take a little time, but I think at the end of the day, new talent is going to rise to the top.
You know, I don't think, now don't get me wrong, I don't think they're going to play a perfect game. But I don't think offensively that LSU is going to struggle against Mississippi State. I'm not telling you that if it was Alabama in the first game of the year, it might be a little bit of a problem. But against Mississippi State, I just have a feeling that offensively they're going to play pretty well. And I know that, you know, like Coach Roth said, maybe the offense of Mississippi State is going to frustrate LSU's defense a little bit. But I kind of look for a big game from LSU. I think that Coach O has been having this circled. I think he understands the importance of not allowing it to be a game where it puts any kind of doubt in anybody's mind. So I look for him. I look for him to cover in this game, and maybe even a little bigger than that. Now, that all being said, this whole situation, what we've been going through, might play some kind of role in what's going on. The one thing is I think the SEC going forward, we're not going to have these situations where you're going to have nine guys out of a game with five starters not playing and this and that. I think what you're going to see every week now in the SEC is all of the guys play, meaning that they're not going to have guys who are out because of COVID protocol or not to any, you know, large degree. So I look for LSU to play really well today. And listen, 25% in that stadium is 25,000 people. That's still a lot of people, and I know 25,000 people can make some noise. It's going to look a little strange, but you'll still get the sense. It's a whole lot better than playing in a stadium that has nobody in it.
No doubt. I've been watching College Game Day on and off as we've been on the air. Kirk Herbstreit during our last commercial said this, and this is a direct quote, "I can't wait to watch this LSU team today. They're going to show up in a bad mood. No one is predicting them to do anything, and I know they've got a huge chip on their shoulder, even as the defending national champions." If they're going to be, you know, playing with their heads on fire, angry team, all that, this could be a team that a lot of folks in Louisiana could rally around. But we like an underdog, and if they're going to, you know, they're still very talented, this could maybe be a very fun team.
Well, I'll even go back. You mentioned when they came off of the national championship against Oregon State. I can remember I was actually at that game. I realized that offense was a lot better back then than it was during the really bad Les Miles years of offense. But all that being said, this is a new type of offense. The other thing is when Coach Ogeron talks about how his team is and what he expects from them, it's been extremely positive. To say that this is the most talented or the best his defense has looked in over a year when you won a national championship last year, I don't think he's saying those things to pump up kids. I think he's saying it because he believes it. I believe that this kid who's coming in and play linebacker from North Dakota State
is a beast.
May very well be one of the best linebackers that's ever going to play at LSU. You know, we'll see, but I believe that, and or at least I'm believing what Coach Ogeron is saying. And you mentioned it, when Miles Brennan did get in on a couple of series late last year, he sort of had that, boy, and I hate to say this, people are going to think this is sacrilegious, but he kind of had that Joe Burrow look to him, and if he continues with something like that, I'm sure he's got a chip on his shoulder too. So what Curb Herbstreit said, I didn't hear it, but if that's what he said, I agree with him 100%. There's going to be a little chip on their shoulder come 2:30 this afternoon.
Couple of guys I'm really looking forward to seeing. The first, offensively, Eric Gilbert, even though it's his first game, if you listen to anything out of LSU camp, the guy's 6'5", 250, runs like a receiver but could block like a tight end. There's going to be nightmares being had because he's too big for the safeties, he's too fast for the linebackers, he's too physical for the cornerbacks, and if you dedicate a cornerback to him, then the receivers are going to be, you know, running free. He's going to be a matchup nightmare. I look forward to seeing him today. And then you touched on it a minute ago, the reports from camp about Jabril Cox, transfer from North Dakota State. Coach Ogeron said it at his talk show earlier this week. He's the best football player on the LSU defense right now. If you've got a good middle linebacker who's flying to the ball and making tackles, stopping the run, and, you know, plugging things up in the middle, you could do a lot of things. And you could especially do a lot of things when you've got Stingley on one side, Cordell Flott on the other side, locking up man-to-man. That's when you could start opening up things for some blitzes and everything like that. I think this LSU defense this year under Coach Pelini is going to be more aggressive in their approach. Dave Aranda liked to kind of just play base and let the athletes make plays. I think LSU is going to be very aggressive in trying to go and attack the offense as opposed to laying back. I'm curious to see what the defense looks like as well.
If they could get over that little frustration period, as Coach Rod called it, with the offense of Mississippi State, yeah, I don't know, man. I just sit here and I have a really good feeling that this is going to be a good coming out party for the post, you know, season of last year, and they know it's important to get this done. Listen, and when you talk about LSU going forward, I don't mean this in a negative way. I realize that Ja'Marr Chase did what he did, and probably if I were in his situation, I may sit down and think about it and do it also. But I just really hope, and not necessarily because of him, just more for Miles Brennan, that Miles Brennan and Terrence Marshall go out there and they hook up for about a 125-yard game for Terrence Marshall with about 7 or 8 catches, maybe 10, maybe 12. Maybe sets a new LSU record for receiving. And then everybody's sitting there going, okay, this is awesome. And you know, I listen, because I worry about what the high school kids think when they think they're over the hump and they don't have anything to play for. You always have something to play for. It's the love of the game. You know, it's about the love of the game. And I hope they go out and play really well on offense today.
So that'll be at 2:30. You can watch that one on CBS. You can watch that one after you listen to the Florida and Ole Miss game here on ESPN 100.3. Let's catch a quick break. Wild and crazy week in the NFL last week. We made fun of the Falcons a minute ago. I'm sure we'll do that a little bit in the next segment as well, as well as talking about some other things going on in the National Football League, big time injuries and just a lot going on. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3, 1600 AM KLEB, 102.7 The New KLEB.
When you need health-related answers quickly, you want the fastest, safest results possible. That's why Terrebonne General Medical Center is the only facility in the state to offer the new GE Revolution Frontier Gen 2 CT scanner. This breakthrough technology presents medical professionals with the clearest images on the market while keeping patients safe and comfortable. To learn more about how TGMC is on the leading edge of healthcare, please visit tgmc.com.
This is Brent Abbedy, and I need your vote for district attorney. The Morvant gang, King Cam and Queen Christine, took over the district attorney's office in 2003. For the past 17 years, they have bullied and persecuted all but the elites, their friends, and the privileged wealthy. I promise to push for term limits to stop the endless injustice and abuses of power. I promise to serve only one term. My only job will be to give everyone fair and equal justice. It is time for a change. Paid for by Brent for DA.
Etel Business. Your business, our priority. Business is fast, so you need to stay ahead. With internet, phone, and Wi-Fi that's even faster. For a limited time, when you purchase 2 business services, you get 3 months free. That means your business is backed by Etel's reliable network, powered by local experts. Save now on the speed you need to run your business and get 3 months free with 2 or more services. Call 798-7952 or visit etelbusiness.com. Etel Business. Your business, our priority.
Hello, this is State Senator Gary Smith from District 19. I want to let you know that I am very concerned about the impact COVID-19 is having on each and every one of us. To stay cautious and practice social distancing, wash hands often, remember to not touch your face, and watch out for your older family members and neighbors. I have been working very hard along with our other elected officials and the governor, and we are taking this very seriously. Please listen for daily news. As everyone does their part, we will prevail. Thank you.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
The devastation caused by Hurricane Laura was unprecedented. You can prevent additional damage by making a free call to 811 a few days before you dig or disturb the ground in any way. Calling 811 helps protect you from unintentional consequences caused by digging into underground utility lines. After calling 811, wait the required time, confirm all marks, and then dig with care. Call 811 before you dig. It's the law. This message provided by Common Ground Alliance.
We'll be right back.
You know, it's crazy. We just did an entire segment talking up the LSU football team, and now we have breaking news from the world of Baton Rouge. LSU defensive back, All-American defensive back Derek Stingley is going to be out of today's game. Statement from LSU football reads, Derek Stingley Jr. became acutely ill last night and was evaluated overnight in the hospital. His condition is not COVID-19 related, and he is expected to be discharged soon. He will return to activity after full evaluation by the medical team. So no Derek Stingley tonight, or this afternoon rather, for LSU. That's a tough blow, man. One of the best college football players in the country is not going to be with LSU. Thankfully, he doesn't have COVID, but hopefully whatever he does have, he could shake back quickly.
Yeah, my sentiments exactly. Acute injury, that, you know, to have to go into the hospital, that doesn't sound very good, but we hope that he is okay. Listen, all that stuff I said about LSU, I'll still stick with it, but I'm not quite as confident as I was, say, 5 minutes ago. Obviously, you don't want to lose these guys, and I'm sure there are a lot of people. Not only is it a situation where you lose him on one side, but you have a lot of guys that are probably worried about him and such. So you don't, you know, you worry about the mental aspect of it all. But we hope that he is okay. But I know there's a lot of talent on that defense too. It starts to get a little thin back there in the defensive backfield, but I think they'll still be okay. I said think, and there's a lot of emphasis on think now.
Mississippi State, and I didn't even realize this until earlier this week, Mississippi State has the old Stanford quarterback Costello back there. He's a graduate transfer,
right.
So they're going to try to make some things happen, and we'll see how it goes. But let's talk a little bit of NFL in this segment as just last week was just ravaged by injury, man. So many guys going down, so many guys to IR, and, like, it's knee injuries, you know, ACLs, and just a rough week. I know baseball had some of this as well, as they had a lot of, you know, pitchers blow out with Tommy John. And heck, the reason why I'm bringing this up, you guys are in athletic training. If you rush the schedule a little bit, could you be more prone to having, you know, these knee injuries and different things like that? Or is it just kind of a fluke thing that we saw last week?
I would venture to say, especially related to the San Francisco 49ers, that something didn't set right with the field they were playing on last week. And I understand it was MetLife where they wanted the field turf to actually be assessed this past week for its safety because they felt like it was a turf situation. It's hard for me to rationalize that this has anything to do with not being prepared or rushing the season because, quite honestly, there were a couple of games that were under their belt. Anyway, when it comes to the NFL, quite honestly, dealing with collective bargaining, they just can't do a lot of things otherwise. There's not a lot of physical contact in any of their practices. So what's going to happen on the field is going to happen, you know. Now, when you talked about baseball, that was a little bit surprising that some of the injuries we saw in baseball have happened and, you know, at the point in time that they happened at. I would imagine there is a little bit more of self-discipline involved with a lot of these guys, whether it's collegiate, I'll even say high school a little bit, but definitely professional ball. You have to get some things done on your own, you know, and if you don't get those things done on your own and you just go by what the collective bargaining agreement states related to your practice time and stuff, you may be a little bit more at risk. I don't know. I'm in a nutshell, I'm going to say this was just a bad weekend. I'm not going to attribute it to anything yet, but boy, you know, again, if you're a 49ers fan, it pretty much just wiped out possibly your entire season in one weekend.
So how about this? I'm going to say these names here, and I'm going to tell you what they all have in common. Blaine Gabbert, Colt McCoy, Chase Daniel, Case Keenum, A.J. McCarron, Matt Schaub, Matt Barkley, Nathan Peterman. All of those guys have contracts larger than Cam Newton this season, who just signed kind of for, you know, a penny price with New England and, quite frankly, looked healthy. And even though they fell short 35-30 against Seattle, I thought Cam Newton looked as good as he's looked in a long time, threw for almost 400 yards, ran for two touchdowns. New England's still a player. I don't know if they're going to be a Super Bowl threat, but they're still a player in the AFC East.
Well, first of all, I didn't realize that that was the money situation. That is pretty eye-opening when you mentioned it. Second, I do believe that by the time this year is over, with the incentives that Cam Newton has in his contract, it could be a lot more than what these other guys are getting. I do believe that. Now, I believe that sometimes incentive-driven contracts make the guy a little bit more mentally acute, or mentally aware, and he's ready to go forward. So from that perspective, maybe this is why Cam Newton has that little chip on his shoulder and he's doing what he's doing. I always felt like Cam Newton, no matter what you may think of him, is a guy that is one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. He's not maybe in the top five elite, but I would say that he's in the top 12, maybe top 10, and he's proven just that. Along with that, we may sit down and think, was Carolina the best fit for him as per, you know, as in relationship to now playing with New England? Because, again, last week they lost, but they very well could have won that game. And boy, playing in the AFC East must be just a treat. It must be really nice. That's got to be – the Jets are horrible. You don't know what you get from Miami week in and week out. I know they won on Thursday night, but when Ryan Fitzpatrick, who I really like, is your quarterback, I'm not sure he's one of the elite. You know, he's prone to throw an interception at a bad time. So all of that being said, I think this proves that, you know, Cam Newton could have a really, really big year. Now, at the end of the year, if you're telling me all of those guys are making more than Cam Newton still after all the incentives that were put into his contract, I would say that he certainly has something to gripe about.
One last NFL tidbit here, and then we'll break and talk about the Saints. Big, big Monday Night Football game on Monday between the Ravens and the Chiefs. Baltimore has looked really, really good. The key with them is going to be, can they replicate it in postseason? Because they've looked really good for the last two seasons and then fell flat and had a dud in the playoffs. Kansas City looked invincible in week one, then looked, quite frankly, pretty bad in week two, facing a rookie quarterback in the Chargers. And quite frankly, they couldn't block Los Angeles. They really struggled to get their offense going until late in the game. Who do you lean towards? We're going to pick it a little bit later on, but who do you lean towards in this one? Because I got a feeling that there's going to be a large audience on Monday night taking a peek at that one, seeing the two NFL Titans going head-to-head or in an early season matchup.
That one's just who outscores who. Can the Ravens defense come up with big stops? I think that's what's going to play out in that game. I agree with you, man. Kansas City just looked very, very pedestrian last week. They looked just, I was like, wait a minute. I crowned you guys kings of the NFL. And after that game, I really thought about it. The one thing that happens, though, is usually teams like that, like Kansas City, who knows they're good, they come back and play with a vengeance the week after looking sloppy. So, I'm giving away, I'll pick a segment, but I'd probably go with Kansas City by three or so in a shootout.
And what, you know, the interesting thing is most teams in the NFL, when they play poorly, they lose. Kansas City played poorly and won. So that just goes to show, you know, how very good that team is, that they could not have their A stuff, still win a game on the road at that.
I agree. And on the road, one in a new stadium, because I got to tell you, seems to me like the NFL kind of likes these teams winning in their new stadiums, hint, hint. So that being said, I think there's a little bit to maybe Kansas City being a good team that just had a bad day, and we'll show you we'll still win it and we're still going to be good.
Professional segue from Mr. Gravois there. Let's catch a break, and we'll talk about another team winning in their home debut at the new stadium. We'll talk about the Saints' loss against Las Vegas, and then we'll break down their matchup against Green Bay. All that and more. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute.
This is Christine Russell, Lafourche Parish District Attorney, asking for your vote in the upcoming election. I'm committed to protecting the children of Lafourche Parish, ensuring the safety of our citizens, holding criminals accountable, providing alternatives for first-time nonviolent offenders, promoting educational programs to our youth and senior citizens, and prioritizing the needs and well-being of victims. I have developed programs and policies to honor this commitment, and your vote will allow us to continue to move Lafourche forward.
Early voting begins October 16th, and Election Day is November 3rd. Paid for by the Christine Russell Campaign Fund.
At Thibodeau Regional, we're proud to announce we've received HealthGrades 2017 Outstanding Patient Experience and Patient Safety Excellence Awards. What's more, we're the only hospital in Louisiana to achieve both awards 4 years in a row. Why should this matter? Because it confirms two things: our commitment to quality and your satisfaction, both very important when it comes to your family's health care. Thibodeau Regional, once again recognized by HealthGrades for providing outstanding quality care. For more info, go to Thibodeau.com.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Avenue Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Now you know about Parker Kia's famously low prices, but did you know Kia's the number one mass market brand in initial quality 6 years in a row? Yeah, that means you get a whole lot more when you buy at Parker Kia. Take a look at the new 2020 Sorento SV6, a three-row, seven-seater SUV that comes with standard family favorite features like smartphone integration. Right now, you can take $6,000 off the MSRP. Want something smaller? How about a 2020 Kia Soul LX that you can drive home for just $69.95? Plus, Parker Kia has some of the hottest new models on the road today, like the all-new Kia K5, the evolution of the Optima, but now with more power, speed, and technology. And of course, we have to mention the all-new Kia Telluride, the 2020 Motor Trend SUV of the year. Get a whole lot more at Barker Kia. Shop online at BarkerKia.com. JD Power 2020 award information. Go to JDPower.com/award for more details. Stock number 20KT277, MSRP 34505, 500 dealer discount, 3500 tub cash. Stock number 20KT009, MSRP 238, 85 dealer discount, 2500 tub for cash, plus TTNL. See dealer detail. It's 9:30.
We've got a half hour to go. A reminder, at 11 o'clock, we're going to be going to Oxford, Mississippi for the beginning of the Lane Kiffin era, as Ole Miss will be taking on Florida. That'll be the kickoff of the SEC season as well. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. A little bit of clarity on the Derek Stingley situation. Bruce Feldman, a prominent college football reporter, said that Stingley last night had an allergic reaction to something and is expected to make a 100% recovery after missing today's game. So LSU fans could exhale even a little bit, I guess, even though he'll be out today. It looks like he'll be back for the second week of the season after having an allergic reaction at the team hotel last night.
That's good news. I mean, let me preface that by saying, there is no good news if he's not playing, but it's right. Good news that it won't be anything that's a long-term illness or anything. So, listen, you're going to develop a little bit depth, too. You know, now you're talking about, again, Mike Leach, who's going to throw it all around. So whoever fills in for him's got to be ready to go.
Speaking of allergic reactions, it looked like the New Orleans Saints had an allergic reaction to playing defense on Monday night because the Las Vegas Raiders carved them up on Monday. Derek Carr, 28 of 38, 284 yards, 3 touchdowns. Stand for a defense that looks so good against Tampa Bay and got so much pressure, they didn't have a chance against Darren Waller. They tried everybody on the roster against Darren Waller, didn't have a chance, 12 catches, 105 yards. We'll talk about Drew Brees and the offense in a minute, but first off, man, what happened defensively?
I agree with you when you talk about this defense and us scratching our head after it's all said and done. It reminded me of that game and the year after the Saints won it all. They had to play San Francisco that next year in the playoffs, and they couldn't stop Vernon Davis, I think it was. That's the kind of game it was for the Saints. And it wasn't just, say, Malcolm Jenkins, and it wasn't just, you know, it was a total not being able to cover that guy primarily, but I don't know, boy. I got to tell you, when we usually talk about who's our top power teams in the NFL. The Saints took a little bit of a plummet on that one, mostly because of the defense. I know, again, we're going to talk about the offense, and a lot of people are talking about their struggles. But I worried about what I saw from that defense against, you know, a guy in Carr who is not bad, but he's also not like an elite quarterback in the NFL. So, yeah, that was tough to watch. I realized there were a lot of calls that were iffy in that game, but as Sean Payton said, that had nothing to do with the outcome of that game.
The thing that bites New Orleans when they struggle on defense is third down defense, and on Monday, 10 of 17 on third down where it was Las Vegas. And then they were also on two of the times that they didn't get it on third down. They went for it on fourth down and converted both times. So you do that math, that's 12 of 19. That ain't any good. You would want that percentage to be in the 30s or the 40s. Instead, they're in the 60s and the 70s. Got to figure out a way to get off the field on third down.
Well, the other thing was is we're all sitting at home watching going, okay, 83. Don't let 83 catch the ball here.
Yeah.
Because before that game started, except for Ruggs, and I only knew of Ruggs because he was an Alabama kid, right? He's a rookie who got drafted by the Raiders. I couldn't even name you a wide receiver for the Raiders. And I'm thinking, and the reason I knew of Waller a little bit is quite honestly because he was on my fantasy football team last year, and I knew he was very athletic. But as the game wore on, it was like, okay, 83, here's a third down situation. You need to stop. Don't let 83 catch the ball. And we couldn't seem to do it. Not only that, they ran the ball pretty effectively too. And the Saints just got whooped. That's the bottom line. Saints got whooped. I hope the Raiders are a lot better than what I thought they were, but I'm scared that they're not.
So now let's talk about the offense, because the big hot-button topic throughout the week in the city has been Drew Brees is throwing balls shorter than ever before. In the last 20 years, he's been averaging passes that are going like 5 or 6 yards past the line of scrimmage, and no one in NFL history in the last 20 years has thrown shorter and with less depth in their passing game than he has. I don't know. What do you make of this? On one hand, I could see, hey, you're getting an older quarterback and, your weaponry isn't what you think it may be. On the other hand, hey, maybe just be one game. What are your thoughts? It feels like to me there's not a very high ceiling there on that New Orleans offense, and that if you could cover short, you could cover everything. And I think that they're missing that, more so than Drew's, arm or lack of it or whatever it may be. I just don't think they have a deep threat at all. You don't have Ted Ginn anymore. Emmanuel Sanders looks lost a little bit. I don't know who they would be throwing the ball deep to.
I agree 100%. I think this is a little bit Breeze, but a lot of nobody else. And then you didn't have Mike Thomas last week. And when you don't have Mike Thomas, I realize that Mike Thomas may not have been the main option, but he also draws attention from two, sometimes three guys. There's none of that. I mean, it's not like you're going to double team, Tre'Quan Smith, or you're not going to double team Emmanuel Sanders. As a matter of fact, he's been pretty non-existent to this point. So I agree with you. There's no deep threat on that team. And there's no threat besides, say, a Kamara coming out the backfield. There's really no, I liken it to the high school level where you have a game breaker, Well, the Saints, obviously the game breaker is Kamara, and then after that it was Michael Thomas, although I'm not sure what we categorize him as a possession receiver or just a all-around receiver who can run with the ball after he catches it. All of that being said, there is no other threat, and Drew Brees at this point in his career is going to need some of those threats around him. Heck, Tom Brady's got him over there in Tampa Bay all over the field, So compare that to what Drew Brees has got going for him around him. Again, I agree with you. It's a little bit of Drew Brees. I realize he's not what he was, say, 7 years ago. But in that same voice, I do say that the Saints do not surround him with a lot of offensive opportunities.
The one thing that I'll say about Drew that is starting to be a little bit concerning is, 5, 6 years ago, if the rush was in his face, he would step into the throw, take the hit. On Monday, the rush came in his face, he rushed the throw and threw it straight to the defense. I see a guy that's starting to not like being hit anymore, and I just don't know, especially come playoff time, I don't know how sustainable that is, because you're going to have to get hit at some point. I don't know if it's preservation, just trying to survive the 16-game season after getting injured last year. But I would like to see, a little more contact as opposed to just, all right, let me, rush and get this ball out because I don't want to get, don't want to get touched back there.
Had a friend who said that he thought it was it for Drew Brees at the end of last year. He was going to give it up. So we got in this little argument about, why not? If he wants to continue to do it, I was like, do it. I will say now as I sit and think about it, I hope that it doesn't come to be a situation where Drew Brees, for all of the good he did in New Orleans, for everything that he's done for the Saints franchise and for the city of New Orleans, quite honestly, I hope it doesn't come to be that he sits there and says, maybe I went a year too long. I hope that we don't think that going forward. So just for him personally, even if I'm not a Saints fan, which I am, but if I weren't a Saints fan, I would be pulling for them to do well just so that he maybe could get over this little hump. Maybe they could get some cohesion. That's one thing about the Saints offense. They have to be in a groove, and when they're not, it's frustrating. And usually it takes one little spark, so I'm hoping we see that spark coming soon. Interestingly enough, that spark sometimes is not due to what the offense did. Sometimes it's a kick return for a touchdown. So let's hope that, you know, we get a situation where Harris maybe returns something. Sometimes it's something on special teams where they fake something and you know, get a big first down. Or you get a ball off of a onside kick, things like that. And if we can get something that gets this clicking a little bit, I think we'll be okay. Of course, no Mike Thomas again this week, unless I'm mistaken, but I think he's out again this week. So it's going to be tough. And look, it doesn't get any easier. The Green Bay Packers are not, at least we don't think they are, you know, the Las Vegas Raiders. That's a good football team coming in to play this week.
Green Bay coming in, that would be on tomorrow night, Sunday night kickoff. The Packers are, you know, they drafted Jordan Love, and a lot of folks were saying that, you know, that would really bring out the best in Aaron Rodgers and make him hungry. Sure enough, they've opened up the year scoring 43 and then 42. One good piece of good news for New Orleans is that Davante Adams, the star wide receiver for Green Bay, is listed as doubtful. He's likely not to play, but they've still got a whole bunch of other weapons out there. You know, the running back Jones is very good. They've got, you know, the Lazard guy, wide receiver. And I think that it comes down to this, is if you can't make Aaron Rodgers uncomfortable tomorrow, if you can't get in his face and he's able to just stand back there, he's going to carve up that turkey in that secondary. And I think that they've got to do a better job pressuring him, make him uncomfortable, especially early in the game. Because if not, you're looking at a potential big outing from Aaron Rodgers in the dome.
From a coaching perspective, that is one thing that disappointed me about the Saints against the Raiders. Early in that game, they got after Carr. They were sending five guys. And then as the game went on, it was a three-man rush the rest of the game. And Carr just sat back there and found number 83 for the rest of the game. There was never any pressure put on him. So, you know, if Carr can do this with no pressure, can you imagine what you're going to get from an Aaron Rodgers in that game? And, you know, I speak only for me, but I know Davante Adams is not playing, and it makes a lot of Saints guys happy. But, boy, he's my fantasy star, and I don't have him this week in all probability. So I don't want to say it disappoints me. If the Saints come up with a win, I'll sacrifice my fantasy for this week. But they better come up with a win.
One piece of positive news, and then we'll catch a break and go to our pick'em segment. Professional athletes at times have a tendency to kind of exhale a little bit once they sign their big deal. Kudos to Alvin Kamara. He signed his contract, and he's never looked better. He has looked exceptional so far this season. Kudos to him. That doesn't always go down that way, but Kamara got his big deal, and now he is playing like he's never played before.
Yeah, I agree with you. In the dictionary of what you just described, there is the word Aaron Brooks, you know. So he's the guy who got the big contract, and then we kind of never heard from him again. I agree that Alvin Kamara is doing everything he can. It makes me wonder about last year, even those times I doubted, like, his intensity on the field. It makes me wonder how much he was hurt last year, because he gives you everything he's got when he's out there. He's doing everything he can. And listen, my wife even mentioned that there's a couple of times where he'll be on the sidelines and he'll just kind of skirt off the field. And she'll say, well, wait a minute, pick up a couple more yards or make one of those terrific cutbacks that you used to make, you know, like 3 years ago. The deal is that you start to understand what it takes to stay in the NFL. And I get that. And he's getting everything he can out of it. But out of the backfield, catching the ball, running the ball, doing everything that he does, he's been really a highlight of the Saints this year.
No doubt about it. So let's catch a quick break. When we get back, our pick'em segment, which is going to actually feel like a pick'em segment, because we're going to have big-time college football, big-time NFL, all that and more. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute.
Greg's SUV clearance sale is going on now at Greg LeBlanc Toyota. Highlanders, RAV4s, and 4Runners are all marked down to the lowest prices. Plus, Greg LeBlanc needs your trade-in today to restock our used inventory. Great service, great deals. That's the Greg LeBlanc way. Our goal is to save every buyer $2,000. $2,000. Oh. Go to our website and find your perfect ride. That's Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. GregLeBlancToyota.com.
Saunders and Chabert, attorneys at law, have dedicated their practice to assisting serious accident victims with the highest quality and personal legal representation possible. You may have heard of Saunders and Chabert through word of mouth, but Saunders and Chabert specializes in serious motor vehicle accidents, offshore, river accidents, and injuries occurring on the job. They fight hard for their clients. Visit SaundersChabert.com or call Scotty Boy Chabert at 888-815-1974 for a free consultation. Saunders and Chabert, fighting hard for you all across Louisiana.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same-day appointments are available on weekdays, with no appointment necessary beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Call today and be cool tonight. Crescent AC and Heat will save you time, money, and sweat this summer. One call does it all. Crescent AC and Heat will clean your AC condenser and do a full check of your AC for only $49. You heard right, $49. Call the best for less this summer. Crescent AC and Heat at 504-777-1234. That's 504-777-1234. And remember, go Tigers.
One segment to go, and a reminder that if you want to watch the South Lafourche and Central Lafourche game or any Tarpon volleyball or football games the rest of the way, Truck, where can they go to find that?
TeamOnePrep.com, T-E-A-M, the number one, P-R-E-P.com. Just follow the pick Louisiana and just follow the instructions. Very easy to purchase a game. Pay-per-view, $15 per game. Or 75 for the whole football season.
And it's my understanding that if you are at the game in person but just want to have it as a keepsake, that's okay as well?
Right. It is archived. So $15 buys you a lot. We'd like to see you in the stands, but if you can't, because of whatever reason, you can watch it on TV.
Very good. So last week it was, heck, we just had him on to talk about it. Truck had a big pick'em week. He's 13-4. I'm 12-5. Stan had a rough week, 10-7, but that means he is going to rally this week. And we begin with, the game that you could hear here in 10 minutes. Florida at Ole Miss. Florida is a 14-point favorite despite being on the road. Stan, will Lane Kiffin have any magic in his opening game at Ole Miss?
I'm going to say no, and I'm going to go with Florida, and actually I think they cover.
Gators.
Yeah, I agree. I think Florida is going to win big. I think that Florida is a sleeper team to make the college football playoff this season, so give me the Gators. This one is a little bit more difficult, and on paper it may not sound that way, but Kentucky's starting the season in the top 25 this year. They're ranked 23. Expectations are high. They're opening up the year at Auburn. Auburn is a touchdown favorite in this one, boys.
Auburn.
Jordan. What is it? Jordan Hare Stadium?
Jordan Hare.
Auburn, all the way.
I'm going to go Auburn, but I think this is going to be a four-quarter game. I think this one's going to go down to the wire, but give me Auburn by a touchdown at the very end. Another SEC game of note today is we've got Tennessee, who's ranked number 16, and maybe a little bit high, but they're ranked number 16, taking on South Carolina on the road. South Carolina is a 3-point home dog against the Volunteers.
I am going to go Tennessee. I don't know why. just because I know that Coach Muschamp can mess things up, but he's fighting for his coaching life over there. But I'm still going to go Tennessee. I'm trying to think with my head instead of my heart as I have the last couple of weeks.
ESPN heads have been talking up the orange and white, so I'm going with Tennessee.
I'm going to go the opposite of you guys. For something that Stan just mentioned, I think that Coach Muschamp needs this game at home. I think he is going to get it. I think the Gamecocks are going to score an upset in this one. Louisville and Pittsburgh, these are two teams that are in the top 25. Louisville is 24th, fresh off of a loss against Miami. Pittsburgh is 21. They're 2-0 in the season. Pittsburgh is at home, and they're a three-point favorite in this top 25 matchup.
I saw Miami a couple of weeks ago and thought they were so bad, and then they beat Louisville. So that just, you know, by mathematics, I don't know. I have to go with Pittsburgh because I just can't believe that Louisville lost to a bad Miami team.
Louisville really is not a good team. Overrated. Pittsburgh all the way.
I agree. It's a sweep. I don't think Louisville is a top 25 program, and I think that they're going to be knocked out of the top 25 after Pittsburgh beats them today. Tulane struggled for the better part of the game last week, but rallied and scored a come-from-behind victory. Now they're taking on Southern Miss on the road. Will the Green Wave get another victory? They're a three-point favorite on the road at Hattiesburg.
I do think Tulane is going to actually rebound. If I'm not mistaken, last week is they had to rebound the week before against South Alabama, and then last week they blew a game against Navy. So,
oh, yes, you're correct, Stan. Yeah, yes. I was thinking of UL coming from behind and winning. Tulane blew it against Navy. You're correct. My apologies.
That being the case, I think they have to show something this week, and Southern Miss is not that strong. So I would say Tulane's going to win that one.
I'm going to let y'all catch up. I'm going to go with Gus Cattingill's Southern Miss. What are they called? The War Eagles or something?
Golden Eagles.
Golden Eagles.
I'm going Golden Eagles, too. Tulane's passing offense is bad, real bad. They've got to figure that out. I'm going to go Southern Miss to defend their home field as well. NFL.
Well, you know, wild now.
What was that?
That is going to be my main game this week, because if I could catch up a game on you and Truck, man, that is going to be where all my energy is this week.
Absolutely. So the Bears are 2-0. The Falcons are 0-2. The Falcons are inventing ways to lose games. They're at home against Chicago. They're a three-point favorite in this one. Fellas, will Atlanta get off the schneid this week?
And they have to. They're not that bad. They're really not that bad. They're very unlucky, and they're very special teams, not good. But I'm going to go with Atlanta.
Just looking at the ball spin, I think they're going to spin and lose to the Bears. They gave one to the Cowboys.
It's so hard for me to pick Atlanta, but it's also so hard for me to say Mitch Trubisky's going to go on the road and beat Atlanta. So I'm going to go Falcons very reluctantly. That's hard for me to say, though.
You better order a latte.
The Rams have looked very good this season. They're 2-0. They're traveling to take on a Buffalo team who's also looked very good. The Bills are a two-point home favorite in a game that a lot of folks are circling down as maybe the game of the week this week.
I agree that it's the game of the week, and I agree that it's an extremely hard game to pick, but I think the Rams, after getting that little, I don't know, year last year, that little jinx year after a Super Bowl appearance out the way, I think the Rams might be the real deal. So, I'm going to go Rams in it.
No Tom Brady in New England. The Buffalo Bills are going to roll. They're playing at a high level, the Bills.
I like Josh Allen a lot, but I like that Rams front an awful lot, too. I'm going to go the Rams on the road, but I could see this one going either way in a showdown between two teams that I think are contenders. My Cowboys are traveling to take on the Seahawks. The Seahawks are red hot. They're throwing the ball all over the place. Can't cover a lick. Can my Cowboys go on the road to Seattle and steal a win?
I don't think so. I think Seattle, I hope CeeDee Lamb has a heck of a game up there, and I think he may. I think they may be able to throw the ball all over on Seattle, but I don't see them stopping Seattle.
Dak is not for real. Seattle all the way.
You know, I agree with you guys. I think that it's going to be a little bit too much to ask for the Cowboys to go on the road and win that one. Big, big showdown Monday night. The Chiefs and the Ravens, two teams that folks are saying are the two best teams in the NFL, perhaps. We've not had a Monday Night Football matchup like this in quite some time. The Ravens are at home, and they're a three-point favorite against Kansas City.
I'll flip it. I think that Kansas City actually wins by three.
Ravens quarterback's legs, his rushes are going to win the game.
Man, this one is so hard for me. I'll go the Chiefs, I guess, but I could see it going either way, obviously. But I'll go the Chiefs. I think Mahomes, at the end of the day, if you're going to tell me it's a shootout, I trust Mahomes to make the big throw more than I trust Jackson to make the big throw. This is going to be a good football game on Monday night, and if you're a football fan, I'd encourage you to tune in and watch that one. The Packers are coming into the Dome on tomorrow night. That'll be at 7:20. NBC will be carrying that one. New Orleans is a three-point favorite. Both teams are going to be down their number one receiver. Michael Thomas out, Devontae Adams out. Which quarterback is going to be able to secure the win? Green Bay's 2-0, New Orleans is 1-1.
By the way, can anybody go to that game? Or is there going to be any type of crowd at that game?
Family only. So I think that they capped it at something like 500 or 600.
Okay. I was just curious. I hate to do this. Obviously, you know, we want the Saints to win, but I think it's going to be too much for them with the Green Bay Packers.
I'm a Saints fan, but Aaron Rodgers is going to get rid of the ball quick, and Breeze is done. Green Bay.
You know, I picked against New Orleans in week one in the Dome against Tampa, and I paid for it. I don't have a great feeling about this, but I'm going to roll the dice and say the New Orleans find some magic. I think that they're going to win tomorrow in the Dome against Green Bay and get to 2-1. The last game on our list is one that a lot of folks are going to be watching at 2:30 today. That's Mississippi State. Mike Leach and the guys taking on LSU, who's without a bunch of players who they lost to the NFL, and now without Jamar Chase, who opted out, without Derek Stingley, who had an allergic reaction. A lot going against LSU here, but, you know, they've got talented players out the wazoo. What's it going to look like today, Stan? Give me a pick and a score.
I said it earlier. I think that LSU is actually going to, I don't know if it's going to be much of a surprise to some people, but I think they're going to win outright, sort of going away in this one. Obviously not a blowout per se, but I don't think a full four-quarter game. I think LSU will have it in hand. Of course, that Stingley news didn't excite me too much, but let's go with LSU 35. No, let's go LSU 42, Mississippi State 21.
Okay.
With Stingley out, it's going to be a mental issue on the defense, and Mississippi State's coming in with a throwing quarterback. I'm going to go Mississippi State.
Wow.
Oh, okay, Truck going the upset. He's going Bulldogs today. Okay.
And I'm a Bay Bay fan, believe me.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. I'm going to go LSU from an opposite direction. Give me the Tigers 34-17. I think LSU is going to run the ball a ton today, control the clock, slow the game down. Give me LSU in a lower scoring game than people think. We want to thank our coaching guests today, Lance Lede, Keith Menard, BJ Young, Coach Rod. A reminder to everyone that Florida and Ole Miss is coming up right after this. Thanks to Mr. Jerry for pushing the buttons. Thanks to Stan for having a great show as always. And same time, well, no, not same time, 10 to 12 next week. It's going to be the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Have a great weekend, everybody. God bless.
In our current COVID-19 climate, it's time to think differently about employee health, and Terrebonne General Medical Center's Workplace Readiness Team is here to help. With over 65 years of trusted leading-edge experience, we are here to provide the resources you need to keep your workforce healthy and prepared with COVID-19 testing, employee health risk screenings, cleaning protocols, a nurse hotline, and much more. A healthy workforce is a productive workforce. Schedule your workplace readiness assessment by calling 850-6214 or visit tgmc.com.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance company.